We'd like to say we appreciate the service this morning. Appreciate the good songs of Zion. The special songs. You're going to have to pray. We'll be able to get ourselves out of the way. Just do that and feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. For the message. We're going to read some scripture, Lord willing, this morning to you. 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We thoroughly have enjoyed the singing this morning. Most of all, that their heart's been made to feel through that of the Spirit of the Lord. You can go about anywhere you want to go and not hear and feel what you've heard and felt here this morning. It's a blessing. I don't know how much of this I'll read. I'm going to read a little bit. Just trust the Lord for the message we've done said. I'm glad that the Lord knows better than I do. Tenth chapter, going to start with the first verse. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then will they not have ceased to be offered. Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were eliminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by the reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading the entire chapter, the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Didn't really plan on reading all of it, but just really couldn't find a place to stop. So I hope that you didn't have to endure the reading. May God add his blessing to the word. It is his word. And it is what he's left with us. That of his word. I'm not going to preach anything new, I don't think, this morning. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I've thought a lot of times that maybe I ought to go this way or that way, and I've found out real quick that wasn't what the Lord thought. So I had to maybe change the way that I was going, and I'm bad sometimes about preaching backwards. I'll wind up in Genesis here in a minute and go from there, probably. I don't know. I really don't. I thought, and I've got a thought, you're just going to have to bear with us for just a minute. There's some things that has been said here this morning and some songs that have been sung here this morning that absolutely thrill my soul. I never get tired of them. There's some old hymnals, and we call them old hymnals. Back in the Redback Church Hymnal Book, it ain't all that old, but it's what I started out with for the most part. And there's songs in there that I honest to goodness, I can sing them without looking at them. I have been over them and over them and over them again. But it takes the Spirit of the Lord, folks, to make the difference. Even in God's Word, it takes the Spirit. You can read, you can get into the midst of God's Word and read it, and sometimes it's no more than reading a newspaper. Just honest. Just didn't get nothing out of it. Daniel looked, read it and read it over, and know there's something in there, but you just don't see it. Just can't get it. I'm going to have to mind the Lord this morning, but I'm going to wait on him. There's something in this scripture that I read unto you that absolutely you and I need to understand. Brethren, they was under something under the law that could not, and would not satisfy the soul. No way, form or fashion. Neither did it satisfy God. There's a lot of times that you might think, well, preacher, the Lord sent it. He most certainly did, but it never, ever satisfied him. He told you, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Thou wouldest not. He said he had no pleasure in them. Listen to me. You might think it's strange, but that's what I've got. My friend, it pacified, but it did not satisfy. Pacified,
but it did not satisfy. Brethren, we've got a world full of folks, my friend, that are pacified. Listen, brethren, we've got a church full of folks, my friend, that are pacified this morning. Yes, sir. Pacified. We've got it figured out. My friend, the Spirit of God is liable to move you in a different direction. Yes, sir. Liable to move you in a different way. Brethren, we need to understand that God, he looked at them sacrifices, but sin was still prevalent. They never did get rid of sin. Never did. Never could. Folks, it didn't even cover it up. It atoned. That's what their sacrifices, them offerings that they brought. Why in the world did he say that it would not? The blood of the bulls and the goats was not sufficient to take away sin this morning. Was not. Didn't matter what they brought. They had a criteria of what they could bring. Yes, they did. They was told what to bring. And it was an offering for sin, Steve. But it never did cleanse them. He said it never did make the comers thereunto perfect as concerning the conscience. They was always a remembrance of sin. You don't have to live like that. These people today, my friend, that absolutely their life is pacified. Pacified. God was pacified. Brethren, all the years under the law, but he never was satisfied. You say, preacher, I bring my offering in the, you telling me that the Lord wouldn't have respect to it? That's not what I'm telling you. God would have respect. But you would still have a conscience of sin. Yes, sir. Nothing in the law, my friend, could satisfy sin. Nothing. Never could get rid of it. Never could. You may think, why, preacher, you've lost your mind. That's exactly what this chapter's telling you. Exactly. All them sacrifices and all them offerings and all them priests, my friend, that done the ceremonies, my friend, it never did satisfy the soul. The soul of man was still in need. Yes, sir. Still in need. Preacher, why'd they bring them? They brought them, my friend, that they might be atoned for a year. For a year, it atoned them. Could never, my friend, cleanse them. Couldn't get rid of it. They lived in a day, my friend, if the father sinned, my friend, that judgment of sin went down four generations. Yes, sir. Four generations. His great-grandson's son would pay for his sin. You say, preacher, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. That's what they lived under. Brethren, it pacified them and it pacified God, but that never did satisfy them. Never, ever. Now the law having a shadow of good things to come. That's what he said. The law, is that not what, am I rereading that wrong? He says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Brethren, there are some good things coming. Yes, sir. A lot of the prophets saw it, prophesied about it. Couldn't wait till they saw it, my friend. And most of them did not see it. Ever. Bible says that Abraham searched for a city, my friend, whose builder and maker was God. Brethren, he saw an image. He saw an image of that. He saw a likeness, my friend, of what it was even in his son Isaac. Yes, sir. But, he never took part, my friend, of that soul-cleansing power. Not in his lifetime. Now, you say, preacher, what a shame. It was coming. It was coming. He looked for it. He died looking for it. Yes, sir. He died, my friend, in a condition looking for the better day. Yes, sir. They are, not all of them. Not all of them died in that condition. No, sir. You know, it's amazing today. It's amazing today to run across somebody that ain't never been in church. That just bogs my mind. Ain't never been in church. Would never took to church. Brethren, we live in a cocoon's what I say sometimes. We live, my friend, and we've got blinders on to how this world really is. There's a lot of children that didn't have the upraising that you had. A lot of them. More so in this day. More so. And you know what? Jesus can save them. Yes, sir. Jesus can save them. I worked with an old boy years ago. Only time he'd ever took to church, my friend, was vacation Bible school. I got on platform with him one day. Lord, let me talk to him. Lord, ever let you talk to somebody? Huh? You know what it is. When the Lord opens the door and you get to talking and they ain't got no clue what you talking about. I mean, they got zero. Zero. But brethren, something must have been said that got this boy's curiosity. I was in revival. He come in the next day and he said, where are you in revival at? I was up in LJ somewhere. He said, that's too far. I ain't driving to LJ. I said, all right. I said, over yonder, that time we as members at Dry Creek Baptist Church, I said, they're having revival this week. I said, I know where you live. It ain't 5 miles from your house. won't you just go over? You know what he done? He went. He went. He come in the next day, and you know what he done? He hunted me up. He said, why did you tell that preacher I was coming? I said, brother, I ain't talked to that preacher. He said, you have talked to him. Exactly what he said, right? He could not believe, my friend, what that preacher preached, and it fit him to a T. It did. I told him, I said, that's the Spirit of God working. I said, he said, you mean to tell me that the Spirit told that preacher about me? I said, amen, that's exactly what happened. I said, I ain't talked to him. I said, I couldn't tell you the last time I did talk to him. He said, he pointed me out. He was tore up. Seriously, tore up. I said, brother, there ain't but one thing left for you. I said, and that's to repent. Yeah. Glory to God. You say, preacher, why did you tell him that, my friend? That's exactly what he needed. That was all he needed. He didn't at that time, but he went a little later. He tried it his way. Huh? His way didn't work. Brother, mine and your way is just like the law. It pacifies. Pacifies. We'll get in our heart, Leroy, that we're going to go to meeting, and before it comes time to get there, we done talked ourselves out of it. I'm going to say this morning, and I hope you ain't guilty. And if you are guilty and you've come back, that's a good thing. But there's people right now that cannot come back to the house of God because they went the wrong way and they're ashamed of how they've lived. Yes, sir. They've pacified themselves into a point, my friend, they're absolutely ashamed of darkening the doors of the Lord. Had a man tell me, second time I was here, remember? He said, when I get to where I can live it, I'll be back. He said, I ain't gonna be a hypocrite. I said, that don't make you a hypocrite. Don't make you a hypocrite coming back to the house of God. What makes you a hypocrite, my friend, is saying you're right in your dealings and your doings. You hear me? You're pacified. You are not satisfied this morning. Yes, sir. 2 or 3 weeks ago, it's amazing how the Lord can work on a feller. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we was keeping a couple of the great grands. Kathy was. I was observing. They don't get close to me. But they had one. You say, preacher, I wouldn't tell nobody that. They have to warm up to me. I ain't got a clue. There's something about my face they just don't like, Leroy. But after a while, here they come. Here they come. But had one in a carrier. And he's nodding off and on, and he had a pacifier stuck to his little collar where he couldn't lose it. And he had it in his mouth. And I watched him. Son, he tore that thing up. I mean, you'd think there was something in it. He was after it. And the Lord spoke to me. You hear me. You hear this. The Lord spoke to me and he said, that's how most people are. Got a pacifier and they're tearing it up. Tearing it up. Got nothing in it. Got no substance this morning. But I'm going to tell you what happened. After a while, he spit that thing out. And it wasn't just a few minutes, he got a little whiny. Yeah. Yeah. And then he got a little more whinier. Kathy had put that pacifier in his mouth and he wasn't having that. Huh? He wasn't having that. Glory to God. We need to get to the place. Thank God that we ain't pacified no more. You won't never repent, brethren, in a pacified mode. You won't do it. A few minutes, my friend, Kathy made him a little milk substance. Yes, sir. Sat down with him, put that bottle in his mouth, and he was calm as a cucumber. Huh? But he had something. He had something, thank God, that's coming out. Yes, sir. Going in. It satisfied him. Brethren, you need a substance, thank God, that'll satisfy your soul. Yes, sir. Satisfied. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus has done, brethren, for me this morning. He satisfied my soul. That ain't all. He satisfied God. His sacrifice. Satisfied the Father. Yes, sir. Did it not? It completed. Brethren, the picture. They ain't no more painting put on it. No, sir. She's signed. Yes, sir. And she's finished. That's what that word says. He, thank God, perfected forever them that are sanctified. Yes, sir. Perfected. Preacher, we ain't perfect. Well, I'll just have to tell you, there's something, thank God, on the inside of me that is perfect. Been perfected. Thank God it's satisfied. They ain't no more sacrifice for him. No, sir. No more. No more. I thought I sang an old song that says, I should have been crucified. You know, I understand what they're saying in that song, but the truth of it is, it wouldn't done no good. They could crucify every one of you sitting here. It wouldn't done no good. Huh? Yes, sir. They'd still be pacified and not satisfied. It took him. It took him, Daniel. And brethren, when he give his life, thank God it satisfied God. It did. And what he done satisfied man. Yes, sir. Satisfied. We ain't living in the pacified mood. We living in the satisfied mood. Yes, sir. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied. It's sufficient. All for man. That's what that writer said. All for man. Brethren, there's something about what Jesus done that will satisfy your soul. There's no more thirsting. What did he tell the woman at the well? If you'd have asked me for a drink, he said, I'll give you a drink of water, huh? That you never thirst again. Ain't that what he said? Never, ever thirst again. Brethren, there's a thirst when you're pacified. And the thirst is satisfied when you give your life to Jesus. Yes, sir. I'm glad he done the job. Come get a verse of a song. Preacher, I'm gonna leave it just like this. Are you living in a pacified mode? Or are you satisfied? Is your soul satisfied? The scripture says, and I'll leave this with you. That woman that come to draw water left her water pot. And she went back to the city. And she said, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Said, is not this the Messiah? Is not this him? You say, preacher, now I'm not going to tell you that woman was saved because salvation hadn't yet come into place. But I'll say this, she was satisfied till it got to her. Glory! Hallelujah! Glory! And as many believed her. But there's others said, not so. Said, I'll see for myself. And it said that they went, and when they heard him, they believed him for themselves. Can I tell you this morning? You can't get it for nobody else. I don't care how good your mom is and your dad is, your brothers or your sisters. It doesn't matter how good they are. It doesn't matter how much they love you. Brethren, you get satisfied in the soul, it'll come between you and the Lord. A personal experience. Yes, sir. It'd be just like this. He told Zacchaeus, he said, "You make haste and come down, for this day must I abide with you at your house." Can I tell you something? I can't tell you everything that happened the day I got saved. I don't understand everything, Steve, how that he took out an old stony heart, and I had one, and put a heart of flesh in. Huh? He done it. I was lost. Had no hope, Tammy. Had no way, my friend, to fix my lost condition. But you know what? He did. He had the remedy. He had what I needed. And all that I ever remember, I'm honest. From the time I left that pew till I hit that altar, the only thing I ever remember is I asked the Lord to save me. And that's all I remember. Didn't have no light, didn't have no big booms. Brethren, I got out of that altar. Hey, something happened. Something happened on that altar. Yes, sir, it happened. Something changed in my life. Preacher, it takes more than that. Well, I'm going to disagree with you. But it takes a personal relationship. Whatever and whoever, I've known men, women, children alike, got saved at home, got saved on the road. I had a man tell me one time, his Lord dealing with him, he was headed to Texas, I believe. He said he got over about halfway between here and there, and he said the Lord got to dealing with him so bad, lost man. He said, "I prayed that the Lord keep me safe till I get there." He said, "I was lost." He said, "He got to dealing with me." He said, "I had to pull the car over." He said, "I got out, got on my knees, and cried out to God, and He saved me. He saved me." He can do it, but it takes Him to do it. You can't do it on your own. You can live in a pacified state. But be sure of this one thing, that being pacified is not satisfied. It's not. I'm sorry. There'll come a time in your life you'll get just like that child. You'll spit that pacifier out. Because you'll realize there ain't nothing in it. Yeah. Preacher, I ain't been a mean person. You don't have to be. The scripture does say that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm going to push you just a little bit. Now I'm going to tell you something. I ain't no sinner no more.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I ain't no sinner no more. Brethren, I become a saint. Preacher, I won't have that. Saints ain't until you die. Where do you read that? Where do you read that? I can give you a verse of scripture and you can go look it up. He said, "What? Know ye not that the saints
shall judge the world. The saints shall judge the world. Can I tell you something? Either you're a sinner or you're a saint. You one of the two. There ain't but two. If you're pacified, you're still in that sinner condition. Best way in the world I know to put it, you're still in that sinner condition. But thank God if you've been born again, you become a son of God. Is that not right? Son of God. You can't help it because you didn't do it. It took him. It took his Holy Spirit. Let us stand. We'll sing.